in your eyes, what was the biggest selling point, if you will, of Cuse getting into the tournament? Something that maybe you think really solidified their shot of getting into the dance?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think it's just the way they finished it. And I know that's not one game, but, you know, the last four games. I mean, if you kind of look, if I've watched every game this year, you kind of caught a different Syracuse team every night for, you know, up until that point. And, you know, part of it's COVID-related. Obviously, losing Verano for the year basically hurt them a lot and was something they needed to adjust to. They had to change the way they played defense. But, you know, those last four games, they were good. They didn't start slow. You know, Buddy Boeheim looks like one of the best players in the ACC, one of the best scorers. They're connected defensively. You know, they beat two tournament teams in Clemson and North Carolina. And then they blew out North Carolina State, you know, a team that did not get into the tournament, but won its last five of the regular season. And if Syracuse only quad one wins, you know, they're playing well at the end of the year. They got beat by Virginia on an amazing buzzer beater, you know, that is frankly a statistically unlikely shot. A guy who makes one of four threes, you know, that's a hard and a huge moment. I mean, Reese Beekman made an incredible shot. So Syracuse played great in that game. It did not look like the team that got blown out by Virginia and Charlottesville earlier this year. So, you know, I think it was a strong finish, but, you know, when you look back and kind of everything that happened this year, you wonder, well, what happens if Alan Griffin doesn't block that shot against Buffalo? And I was asking, what happens if Bryant beats them in the opener because they only got one practice in after, you know, a long COVID pause? Those two stand out to me in particular as like, you know, they really, if that went the other way, you wonder if they still get in. And honestly, they ended up getting in with a little bit of a cushion, but nobody knew that, you know, going into Sunday night. So, you know, I think it was the late push, but at the same time, when you're that far down, I mean, the margin for error is really slim.
And I think it's pretty realistic to say that they're playing their best basketball right now at this point in the season. So what has led them to that point where they're kind of firing in all cylinders right now?
Yeah, there's no doubt they're playing their best basketball of the season. I mean, it's a good question. So I think there are two things to me. One of them is, it's very apparent that Buddy Boeheim is playing a different level of basketball now than he did for most of the year. You know, the team had a COVID pause, and he was out for a while doing contact tracing. That he got COVID over the Christmas break, New Year's break. You know, so I'm assuming that had a lot to do with his play. It's kind of hard to, you know, attribute 100% of it on that, but, you know, having a guy who can really get to his spots, you know, I mean, unless, you know, by and large, he's been able to get to his spots in the mid-range. He's been a great catch-and-shoot outside guy. He's been clearly their best offensive player for the last few weeks. And before that, it was kind of who's hot. You know, Quincy was really good to start the year. Allen had some really big nights. Joe had a couple of big nights. But there wasn't a constant. And Buddy really feels like that right now. I mean, this is almost 60 points. Might have 60 points between the two ACC tournament games. Like, that's pretty extreme. I mean, obviously going against Virginia, a team that plays slow. You know, known as a really good defensive team, but, I mean, when you play with one of the slowest paces in the country, you don't give up a lot of points. You don't score a lot of points either, obviously. But so I think Buddy, and then they're just connected more defensively. Like, I think one of the biggest things they did was toward the end of the year when it became clear that Barama just wasn't coming back, is they start playing their guards lower. They started playing their guards lower in the zone to take away entry passes into the high post from up top. They started trying to force opponents to get the ball in there from the wing, you know, which is a tougher pass, and your forwards are a little bit better positioned to help because they're already turned in a little bit more from that position on the wing. So, you know, I think they got a little bit more connected defensively. I think Jesse Edwards provided a little bit of a boost there. Robert Braswell's awareness as a forward in the zone is excellent. And Jesse, when they put him in there, I mean, look, if you have a rim protector, you don't need to play your guards low. You can let your guards play higher up, and I think they might do a little bit of that against San Diego State because they can shoot it. But, you know, I would say defensive connectivity and just Buddy Boeheim flat-out scoring offensively are the two biggest things that have keyed the late run.
Stephen Bailey with us here on BTL, Syracuse basketball beat writer of 24/7 Sports. Going off a little bit more with Buddy and his success, like, where do you think that has come from as of late? Because as you alluded to, I mean, he's been putting up these ridiculous numbers, and offensively he has been unbelievable. So what is really, I don't know if it's anything that's changed or if his confidence level has just changed a bit. Like, what do you think has been the recipe for success for him?
Yeah, it's a good question, and clearly there's no easy answer. You know, I think the one thing that everyone can kind of see and point to is the pauses and him contracting COVID-19. I mean, he caught it sometime around the end of December, seemingly maybe early January. So, you know, he was still wheelie when he came back. I think I heard Jim Boeheim say in one of his post-selection show interviews that, you know, Buddy was, you know, he was just getting used to getting up and down the court, you know, more so than getting his shots and working off ball and, you know, his back down dribble game to get to the mid-range. Like, Buddy's someone who can create his own shots, but, you know, most of the time. But he has to work for it. It's not like Allen's going to take a couple dribbles and then pull a step back. He can probably get to that against anyone, whether he's making them is a given thing. Buddy's, you know, back to the basket, couple dribbles this way, couple that way, head fake, ball fake, head fake, ball fake, turn, you know. He works. He's got to work to get to those shots. So, you know, it would make sense that you know, the effects of COVID and kind of the lack of conditioning opportunities because of all those pauses, you know, affected him. And look, there may well be other things too. I mean, shoot, he's just hot. He's feeling good, you know. I mean, shooters go on hot streaks. There's probably something to that too. He's probably making more shots than he ever did, you know, in a stretch before COVID. So, you know, I think those two things, I think there's just got to be a nugget of truth to the COVID side of things. And, I mean, you just don't know how long that was affecting him. I mean, it could have gone, you know, a couple weeks into you know, when the team returned in January.
And I wanted to ask about the COVID pauses because, I mean, in my eyes, that's kind of what was holding them back to the potential that's showing now. Have you felt that kind of vibe in the locker room with this team, that the COVID pauses – really were preventing this team from performing the way that they could?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a contributing factor. You know, I don't know if I would say it was the driving factor. I think a lot of other teams have gone through it too, so you've got to be mindful of that. But it you know, it definitely hurt them, but it could have hurt them worse. Remember, they won that Bryant game. They could have easily lost that game to open the season, and, you know, maybe they wouldn't be in the same as 68. They could have, you know, they did come back really slow after the team Joe and Buddy contracted COVID. They lost three or four coming out of their breaks and finished that with a really bad loss at Pitt. So I think it's a contributing factor for sure. You know, the other thing to me is Barama. I mean, you come into this year thinking you've got a center who can give you 25 minutes a game, and, you know, when you have a rim protector back there, you don't have to put your guards down, and your forwards don't have to be so worried about helping in the middle and getting back out. You know, everything becomes easier. You're not forcing four guys to help a small ball five in the middle. They're allowed to play a little bit more aggressively on the outside. One, you lose that, and then two, there's an adjustment period when you realize you got to defend differently. You got Alan Griffin in his first year here, not only learning the zone, and he was playing some guard early in the year while Buddy was out, but now he's got to do extra rotations. This is a little bit tougher. You know, Joe and Buddy working up there, I think they did a solid job this year. I mean, I think Joe had some bad games. The Rutgers game was really, really bad. But there's definitely an adjustment to learning all that. And, you know, Kadari Richmond, too, as a freshman, I know he's really good defensively. But, you know, I would put losing Barama and the effects of that as kind of the biggest thing that slowed the team for most of the year. But, you know, the COVID pauses are right there too. It's just, you know, everyone had the risk of dealing with those, or, you know, many teams did deal with that. And shoot, there are teams that it affected even worse. I mean, St. Louis was out for a month and then had a really bad week coming back. And, you know, hey, they didn't get in, you know, and I don't even think they're one of the replacement teams. And I think a lot of it has to do with COVID. So I think that could have been a little bit worse for them, but there's no doubt that was a factor in the Syracuse, you know, having a slow first couple months of the year.
The Orange with the late game on Friday night, 9:40 tip against San Diego State. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to have to inject myself with about three pots of coffee to get through that game. But real quick, Stephen, before we let you run, Jim mentioned yesterday to the media, you know, San Diego State's a tough team, and in some ways he's not necessarily looking forward to playing them because they're so good. So what makes them so effective, and why are they going to give the Orange some problems here on Friday night?
You know, the biggest thing that jumps out to me is our outside shooting. I think they got four guys that shoot at least 34%, a couple guys over 40. You know, if they get open shots from the outside, they are probably going to make them. So, you know, that changes what Syracuse is trying to do. And, you know, we talked a lot about the guards playing a little lower this year. You can't do that against a team that can say, all right, well, we're going to put our guys at, you know, a foot or 18 inches behind the three-point line, and they're going to be ready to catch and shoot. You got to get out on those guys. And if you do that, then, well, can you defend the high post, which is something Syracuse really struggled for most of the year. So, to me, I think San Diego State does a lot of things well. Right? They've got fine size. They're a good, very good defensive rebounding team. You know, they win the turnover margin by a few possessions a game. You know, they're very experienced. Most of their players, their contributors are upperclassmen. A lot of the guys were on the team that only lost a couple games last year and probably would have been a one or a two seed if they made it to, you know, the season wasn't canceled. But to me, it's that outside shooting. And is Syracuse going to be able to flummox those guys in a way that prevents them from getting open looks, throws them off their rhythm? Now, the sunny side for Syracuse is San Diego State hasn't played against the zone team this year. And, you know, their head coach and their players were talking about it last night. They saw a little bit of zone against Air Force, but it was like a matchup zone. And it's just not the same, just, you know, to see it for a handful of possessions, whereas, you know, going up against a team like Syracuse that just does it all the time. The whole program is built around the 2-3 zone. So, that's the story for me is can San Diego State put its shooters in position to beat up the zone? And then, I mean, obviously Jim Boeheim will make in-game changes. Can they answer those? You know, if, like I said, if the guards push up, can they get the ball into the high post? And, you know, can they keep countering and keep staying ahead? Because, you know, Syracuse's offense looks pretty good. Like, I would be surprised if Buddy Boeheim slowed down and if Syracuse wasn't able to get some quality looks against San Diego State. They're a good defensive team, but Syracuse is moving the ball really well. So that's kind of what I'm watching is can San Diego State get quality shots against the zone?
Stephen, as always, you're the best, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks a million for joining us. We'll definitely be talking to you soon, okay?
Yeah. Anytime, fellas. Take care.